Canada Day.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah.
Do you know how old is Canada?
Wow! How come you're so quick? Unbelievable! How many of you actually celebrate the 150th birthday in Ottawa? How many actually went to Ottawa last year? How many? Oh, you went to Ottawa last year? Did you have a great time on Canada Day? Wow! I encourage you. Actually, we may be going to Canada, Ottawa tomorrow. So pray for us safety, because it's going to be a very busy day. Tomorrow is actually the extended tomorrow is actually a holiday, by the way. That's why our chairman just said that there are quite a few of us are enjoying the long weekend holiday. Am I correct? Right? So, yeah. But anyway, now, before we start, I'm just want to give you tell you a story that I heard from my Sunday school teacher. How many of you actually love Sunday school? Anyway, can I see some hand? You love Sunday school. You really love Sunday school. None of you guys? Oh my God, that's pretty disappointing. You don't like Sunday school at all? But anyway, I love Sunday school. I was actually brought up more like in a Sunday school environment when I was a kid. I love Sunday school. And this Sunday school teacher told me a story and I never forgot, okay? And she said, an atheist walking in the wood. And back then, I never know what atheist is. I was a little kid, right? So I asked the teacher, what is an atheist? You know what atheist is? An atheist is actually a person who does not believe the existence of a super being. An atheist does not believe the existence of a super being. That's God. That's God, okay? 无神论, yeah. An atheist, okay? An atheist is a person, so this atheist is walking in the wood and suddenly, and he saw a grizzly bear approaching him, and the bear is about to strike him, and this atheist suddenly say, Jesus, save me! And he's actually talking to heaven. Say, Jesus, save me. And suddenly the time stopped. The river stopped flowing. And the wind stopped blowing. And everything suddenly come to a halt. Everything stopped. And then there's a voice coming down. Who are you talking to? And he said, I talk to you, Jesus, but you know what? I don't want to be hypocritical, because everything stopped, right? If you are able to turn this bear into a Christian, I will believe in you. If you're able to turn this bear into a Christian, I will believe in you. And suddenly, the wind blows again. And then the river flows again, everything resumes, and time rises again. And suddenly, and you know what the bear does, huh? You know what the bear does? The bear is holding his hands like this, and bowing his head, and kneel down his knee on the ground, okay? At this moment, and suddenly there's a voice coming. Why are you still standing there? Why are you standing there? He said, well, the bear is praying, and obviously he's believing Christ, and I don't believe a Christian bear will do anything harm to me, right? And you know what the voice coming down said? Because right now he's only saying grace before his lunch. You see what I mean? So a lot of people think about prayer. So today we are talking about prayer. How many of you actually pray before you come to the church? Can I see some hand? I don't want to. How many actually pray before you come to the church? You know that they always said prayer is the greatest privilege of Christian life. Okay? Prayer is the greatest Christian privilege. Also, prayer is the greatest Christian failure, unfortunately. Now, let me repeat what I said. Prayer is the greatest privilege. But at the same time, prayer is also a greatest failure. Remember, your spiritual life can never rise above your prayer life. If you want to have a successful and prosperous and very strong church ministry, the number one meeting that you have to look at is your prayer meeting. It's your prayer meeting. How many of you actually regularly, now I'm not talking about just one or two, okay? How many are regularly attending your church prayer meeting? Can I see some hand here? Regularly. You got one? Okay. Well, I'm not disappointed. You got one person. That's not too bad. At least we have one person. Thank you very much. Right? Keep that in mind. If you're not attending the prayer meeting of a church, you're not really helping the church. Now, let me repeat what I'm saying. If you're not attending the prayer meeting of the church, you're not really helping the church. Now, because prayer is almost like you're breathing. Okay? So today we're going to focus on just one verse. Just one verse, okay? I'm going to ask you to read it with me. Oh, I don't know why I'm going to Spanish. Okay, right there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17. One verse. And at the end of the sermon, I want you to memorize this Bible verse. Okay? Fine? Just one verse? Is it too much to ask? Right? Okay? So, let's read it together. Loud and clear. 1, 2, 3. Pray without ceasing. How many of you actually memorized this verse before? Can I see some hand? Oh, we have, oh, it's only one person. You guys are really disappointing. Only one person. Okay. Pray without ceasing. So by the end of the sermon, now we had about 20 people here. And I expect 20 of you would be able to memorize. You can forget everything I said, okay, today. Just forget everything I said. But just remember these three words, okay? If you have already remembered these three words, you're not wasting your time here. You're not wasting your time here, okay? And it's extremely important. Pray without ceasing, okay? Now, if you really have to think about it, what kind of word is this? What kind of word is this? What kind of language is this? This is, hey, Russian? Wow. You must be thinking about the World Cup, right? Are you thinking about the World Cup? Okay. This is actually Greek. This is actually the original language of the New Testament, okay? And this is called prosukomite. Prosukomite. Now that's easier, right? Prosukomite. Is that easier? That's English. Prosukomite. And the original language is to wish. To what? A desire. To wish towards a desire. Okay, now this is very important, okay? You're wishing for a desire. Now, whose desire? Whose desire? Whose desire? Your desire or God's desire? Huh? Hey? Whose desire? Think about it. Your desire? You're wishing for your desire or God's desire? Huh? God's desire. Okay, now,
last year when I had a birthday party, okay? And they said that you have to make a wish. I didn't make a wish. My wife made a wish for me. Okay? So my wife is making a wish and everybody says, what is your wish? And you know what she said to me? That's pretty sweet. She said, I'm wishing your desire will come true. I'm wishing that. So prayer, now keep that in mind, okay? Prayer is to wish God's desire will come true. Now let me repeat, okay? Prayer is to wish God's desire will come true. When she said that to me, everyone is clapping the hand. She said, I'm wishing my desire to come true. Okay? Let's bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I hope you're not disappointed with us that we have only one person attending our church prayer meeting. I hope you're not disappointing with us that we only have one person knowing how to memorize 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. But I do hope that you will be disappointed if we are only wishing for our own desire. So, Father, teach us how to pray without ceasing. May you anoint the tongue of your servants so that each and every word proceed from his mouth will touch our heart so we can put your truth into our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now, we're going to go through a little bit of Jesus' teaching, okay? Now, I'm going to ask you to read it for me, and then I'm going to go through one by one how to get through prayer before we talk about without ceasing. Okay, let's read it loud and clear. 1, 2, 3. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue on the street corners to be seen by others. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Okay? Now, basically, prayer is like breathing. Okay, now take a deep breath in now. And then slowly exhale. Your breathing, okay, is a natural phenomenon. Each and every one of you, being a Christian, will pray to your Lord, will pray to God, okay? So, breathing. But sometimes we restrict our prayer due to our sinfulness. Or even, sometimes we stop praying. We stop praying, okay? We restrict our prayer just to say grace in front of our meal. Or before you go to bed, you have a short prayer. Okay? How many of you actually have a custom to pray before you go to sleep? Can I see something you pray?
One.
What, you got one? Two? Oh, not that many. Oh. Unfortunately. How many of you actually have a short prayer before you start your engine? When you're driving, before you start your engine, you have a short prayer. Can I see some hand? You actually pray to God before you start driving your car? Ethan, thank you. Oh, I'm very happy. At least I have one person. And I'm going to encourage you, not just pray before you go to sleep, not just pray before you have your meal, but pray before you start your car. Okay? It's important. It's like you're breathing, okay? Breathing in and out. Now, if you look at this Bible verse, it said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to show off. They like to manifest to others that they like to pray. So number one, prayer is not to impress God. It's not to impress other people. You don't pray to impress. Show off. Okay? Now, number two, and when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans. That means they are repeating the chanting. They said, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." They keep saying, "Oh Lord," and it's all these meaningless babbling or empty chanting. All right? And it's not good. So remember, prayer is not to inform God. Now remember, before you pray, our Lord already knows your need. Okay? Before you pray, our Lord already knows what you need, right? So if the Lord already knows what you need, why bother to pray? If God already knows what you need, okay? Before you pray, okay? He's already known. Why do you need to pray? Why? Any idea? If our God already knows what you need already, right? Is it necessary for you to pray at all? Is it necessary? Do you need to pray? He already knows. Am I correct? Am I correct? He already knows. Do you need to ask him anymore? Do you need to? So in other words, prayer is not to impress him. Prayer is not to inform him. You don't need to text a message to, "Oh God, can you give me this? Can you give me that? Can you give me a girlfriend? Can you give me a boyfriend?" You don't need to. No. Don't bother. Don't bother. Why? Because he knows your need, right? So prayer is not to impress and prayer is not to inform, but prayer is to invite God. You're inviting him, okay? So you go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "We are a fellow workers of God." We are a co-worker of God. And we are his field. We are his building. We working with God together. How many of you ever attend a dragon boat race? Have ever seen a dragon boat race? How many of you ever went to Center Island and actually attend a dragon boat race? How many of you? Never? Okay. So we went to Center Island, okay, this year, and they have a lot of dragon boats. And think about it, you've been a dragon boat, you're holding a paddle, okay? And when you're holding a paddle, you're holding only on one side. And there's another one on the other side holding the same paddle, okay? Now, supposedly, if you're holding a paddle, you keep paddling. But the other side is not paddling. What happened to the dragon boat? You know what happened if just one side paddling, the other side does not paddle? You know what happened? Huh? Hey? You know what happened to the dragon boat? It will turn in a circle, but stay in the same spot. Okay? So what I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to go anywhere in your spiritual life, if you want to go anywhere, okay? Prayer is inviting God to paddle with you. Because everything that you want to do it, okay? Without God's presence, you cannot do anything. Okay? There are three things in this world you cannot go without. Now listen to this carefully. Number one, you cannot go without the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the blood of Jesus Christ, no sin is forgiven. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, no sin is forgiven. Number two, without faith, you cannot please God. You never please God without faith. Okay? And number three, without Jesus, you cannot do anything. You cannot do anything. So you're inviting God into your boat and to paddle with you. You cannot just paddle by your own. Otherwise, okay, you're inviting God. We're co-worker with Jesus Christ. Is that clear? We're co-worker with him. You're inviting him. So number one, we're not impressing God, we're not informing God, but we're actually, what? Inviting God. We're inviting God, okay? So keep that in mind.
And the other, now this is another, this is not Russian, by the way, this is Greek, okay? This is not Russian. Algolatops. Algolatops means what? It's not equal to, now think about it. Pray without ceasing. Is it possible that you pray 24/7? Is it possible that you pray 24/7? Is it possible? Is it possible that you pray? But is it possible that you breathe 24/7? That's possible. You have to breathe 24/7. We compare prayer with, right? Do you think Jesus Christ, when he was on this planet, okay, he prayed 24/7, nonstop? Do you think he's praying nonstop? Do you think Jesus prayed nonstop? No, he didn't. So keep that in mind. A lot of people say, oh, praying without ceasing means you continue to pray. You have that attitude of praying. Now, I'm telling you right now, even Jesus himself, he did not pray nonstop. Okay, nonstop. And also the fact that, now, if you notice when Jesus, the 3 years that he was performing his ministry, okay, especially when he performed miracle, do you think it's difficult? Do you think he pay a lot of effort to perform miracle? Do you think he used a lot of physical energy to perform miracle? No. He can just say one word and everything's done. He can heal the sick. He can actually say, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus is resurrected. Okay? So it's very easy for Jesus to perform miracle. But when it comes to prayer, when it comes to prayer, do you think that require a lot of his physical energy? Do you think that prayer requires Jesus a lot of physical energy? Yes! Yes! So I'm going to tell you right now, if your prayer life does not require your physical energy, you're not really praying. Jesus woke up early in the morning, probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning to pray. And at nighttime, he prayed all night. Remember, actually, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed nonstop. And he actually back and forth 3 times, and he prayed, and the sweat. Actually, I can see some sweat on. How many of you are actually sweating right now? Actually have sweat on your forehead, right? And his sweat is like blood. It's like blood drop, okay? And they're dropping on to the ground. So he paid a lot of effort in terms of praying. He doesn't need too much of performing miracle, by the way. Okay? But he spent a lot of effort in terms of prayer. So prayer, if you notice, is not nonstop. It's not nonstop, but prayer is equivalent to constantly recurring. Constantly recurring. How many of you ever ask your parents for a present more than 3 or 4 times? How many of you actually ask your parents for a present more than 3 or 4 times? How many of you? None of us. So probably you ask one time, your parents already give it to you. Am I correct? Your parents, you ask, mom, give me a present. And then your mom immediately give it to you. Am I correct? Am I? No? But you stop in the second time? Do you stop? No, you should. This is what I'm saying. Constantly recurring. It's like this. Give it to me. Come on, give it to me. Keep shaking. Shaking. Give it to me. Give it to me. You see, it's extremely important that you're constantly recurring. Okay? Constantly recurring. Alright? It's almost like a boy who is in love with a girl. And the girl doesn't like that boy. So this boy is constantly recurring to ask for a date. Oh, can you come out with me just for once? You see what I mean? And the girl said, no, I don't like you. I don't like you. So the boy said, just for once, please. No, that kind of thing. It's constantly recurring. This is what prayer is all about. Okay? Pray constantly recurring. Alright? How many of you actually keep asking the same question? Can I see some hand? You, when you pray, you actually keep asking the same thing. Can I see some hand asking? You did, eh? What do you ask? What do you ask him?
You don't have anything? Okay. But that's anyway. I like that. You keep asking the same thing. Okay? So there are two. Now, if you're really careful, there are two parables. There are two parables in the Bible, which is standing extremely unique from the other two parables. Because most of the parable that Jesus mentioned about is by comparison. They compare God to something. Okay? But these two parables is entirely different. These two parables is by contrast. By contrast. That means the main character of the parable is completely opposite. Completely opposite to the character of God. Okay, let me just give you an idea. In Luke chapter 11, it mentioned a reluctant neighbor. Okay, so this guy had a neighbor, okay, and he has a friend coming from Ottawa, let's say, and the visitor, he didn't have any food to serve the friend, okay, he didn't have any food to, so he went to his neighbor and asked him for food. Probably at night time, he knocked on his door, can you give me some bread, a loaf of bread, so I can feed my friend who's from Ottawa, can you do that? So at night time, and his neighbor said, oh, my children's already sleeping, and the door is closed. And remember, back in the old days, when you close the door, okay, it's very difficult to open it again. That is 2,000 years ago, okay? It's not like this kind of door. You have to put all kinds of different things on there. So my kids are all sleeping now. The door is closed. I cannot give you the bread. I cannot. So he keep on saying, I cannot. But you know, this person keep on knocking the door. Knocking, and because he's very persistent, and the friend, the neighbor, opened the door and gave it to this person. Now keep that in mind. The neighbor gave it to him. It's not for kindness. It's not for friendship. It's not for neighborhood love. No. It's just what? To stop him from keep bothering him. Okay. And that, now, the lesson we learn is, God is not like that. God is not like that. Okay? Now, and then the disciples said, can you teach me how to pray? Can you teach me how to pray? Just like John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, what? Hello? Our Heavenly Father, hello, be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today your daily bread. Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Okay? And do not lead us to temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. So number one, we address the Heavenly Father as a relationship prayer. So pray with honoring God. Number two, His kingdom come. We acknowledge His lordship. He's in control of our life. Number three, His will be done on earth as His heaven. Because right now, God's will is not done on this planet. So we ask Him. And number four, now keep that in mind. Give us today our daily bread. And also, you're going to learn how to forgive. Forgive your bad, your debtor, as you forgive others, okay? Now remember, if you don't forgive others, the Lord will not forgive you in heaven. That's what He said, okay? And last but not the least, and you have to ask for this wisdom, do not lead us into temptation. Ask the wisdom of God, okay? And deliver us from the evil one. Now keep that in mind. You start with God's honor, God's glory, and God's sovereignty first. Always begin with God's honor, His glory, and His sovereignty. And then you ask for your need. That is the daily bread.
And then you ask for wisdom to overcome temptation. And now that's what Jesus said. And the second parable, is very similar. That is in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 7. Now this is about a widow. A widow who had an opponent who took away her daily need. And she was so upset. So what she did is she went to what? She went to a judge. But the judge does not respect God. And he has no fear of people. No fear of people, no respect to God at all. Now that, keep that in mind, that's really, really, I don't know how you become a judge, okay? So the widow knocked at the door of the court and said, you know what, can you give me legal protection? But the judge never listened to her. The judge never. There could be judge like that. If you want to ask for legal protection, the judge say, no, I'm not going to listen to you. But this widow keep on badgering, keep on badgering on the judge, okay? And you know what the judge did? Because he wanted a peace of mind. So he actually gave him the vengeance and gave him the justice and legal protection. So it's the same idea with God himself. If you keep on asking God for something, okay? And of course that has to be pleasing to God and under the will of God. And God will give it to you. Now, so from today on, you ask God for the revival, for the a spiritual revival of MCLCC, Mississauga Christ Life Community Church. You keep asking the same thing every single day, brother and sister. Keep asking. Every single day. I guarantee you, God will answer your prayer. Every single day. Constantly recurring. It's the same idea. You said, Lord, can you give me a wife? Do you want a wife? Do you want a wife? Yeah. You pray every day from today on, okay? I guarantee you. Especially with a handsome boy like that. Look at how handsome he is. By the way, I'm not just saying to make you happy. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling him the truth, by the way. He's very handsome, okay? If you ask God every single day for the will of his desire, God's desire, I guarantee you, he will give it to you. That's prayer. That is prayer. So pray for your church every day. Now, so two things. Okay, two things. Number one, be persistent in your prayer. Be persistent. Number two, the will and the desire of God. The will and the desire. Because you're wishing not your own desire. Not your own desire, okay? Oh, you want a Porsche, you want a BMW. Sorry, that may not be your desire, right? Okay, no. Okay, one, be persistent. Number two, okay? Wish for his desire. Okay, let's read it together. There are five things that I want you to learn to pray, okay, today. Five things, because today is Canada Day, right? Five things, okay?
Five things to learn.
Okay, let's read it together. One, two, three. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Okay, so number one, desire for God's fellowship. Desire for God's fellowship. That's number one. Okay, so he's humbly asking God for forgiveness. Desire for God's fellowship. Number two, let's read it together. One, two, three. I urge them, first of all, that petition, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Number two, now this is critical. We desire for a godly nation. A godly nation. Now, is Canada a godly nation? Is Canada a godly nation? Is Canada a godly nation?
Hey?
Huh?
Is Canada a godly nation?
How many say it used to be? Can I say that it used to be? Okay, we get some. How many say it's no longer be? No longer be a godly.
Okay.
So you gotta pray. Now think about that. We already, about 38 years ago, we had this gay parade in Toronto. 38 years ago, in gay parade, okay? And then about 12, 15 years ago, the federal government passed a law to allow same-sex, same-gender marriage. And very soon, in September, we will be legalizing marijuana. Are we still a godly nation? 40-some years ago, they allowed the first legal abortion in our country. And then ever since then, abortion become legalized in our country. So number one, we're killing people. Number two, we're killing marriage. Number three, we're killing youngsters, because youngsters are the highest population who use hashes, street drugs, marijuana, ketamine, all these unfortunately substance that is causing our brain to turn around. Number three, we're gonna read that together. One, two, three. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prosper, you too will prosper. Last weekend, within 48 hours, we have four homicides. Four people got murdered in our neighborhood. Four people. And we're not living in a very safe place. So, number one, desire for God's fellowship. Number two, desire for a godly nation. Number three, desire for a godly city. Jesus performed many miracles in Jerusalem, but they don't believe in him. And people perform many miracles in Capernaum. They don't believe in him. And I hope that today you will have a very, very godly city. The fourth thing I want you to pray for. Let's read it together. One, two, three. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers for God. Pray for your family. If any one of you have family member never believe in Christ, I want you to pick me individually. Pray for them. Last but not the least, before I close. Okay? I'm going to read it for you. When Jesus was leaving Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree, he went to find out if there was any fruit. He found nothing but leaves. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out those who were buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" Now, Jesus had performed many miracles in his life, and this is the only miracle that he performed actually seems to destroy something, because all the miracles that he performed is to build up, is to heal, it's for the goodness of mankind. But that is the only miracle that seemed to destroy something. That is the only miracle. Because he's destroying a fig tree. If you look through the entire Gospels, there's nowhere that you ever find a miracle that with destruction. That is the only destruction Jesus ever performed. He is destroying the fig tree. Why? Because the fig tree is a symbol of the temple of God. He said the temple of God is destroying. Why? Because they're not praying. They're not using the temple of God to pray. What are they using the temple of God to? For money exchange. for selling doves and merchandise. All right? I went to Hong Kong, one of these Buddhist temples, and they have this biggest Buddha, okay, sitting right there, sitting right there. And then when you went down to the temple, and people are selling the statue of the Buddha. They're not worshiping Buddha, but they're selling it. They're using the temple to sell merchandise. And brothers and sisters, that is a blasphemy. That is a total disrespect to God. So when you come to church, brother and sister, number one, it's not worship. Number one, it's not offering. Number one is to pray. This is the house of prayer. This is a, so the last but not the least, the desire for a godly church. A godly church is a church of prayer. Now remember, regardless of how revived the church, how prosperous the church is, if you have nobody attending the prayer meeting, the church is not going anywhere. It's like a dragon boat going in a circle. Remember, your spiritual life will never rise above your prayer life. Let me repeat what I'm saying. Your spiritual life will never rise above your prayer life. Today on, there are five things. I give you 1 minute right now, and you're going to pray with me. Five things to pray for. Pray for fellowship with God, desire for fellowship with God. Number two, godly nation. Number three, a godly city. Number four, a godly family. The fifth, but not the least, it's a godly church. I'll give you 1 minute silent right now to pray for these five items before I close. Let's bow our head and pray. 1 minute to pray. Mississauga Christ Life Community Church have over 20 people on Canada Day praying to you in unison, in one person. We ask for your desire. Your desire is to have fellowship with us. So we ask to have fellowship with God. Number two, Father, we also desire for a godly nation. Our nation has gone wrong on abortion. Our nation has gone wrong on gay sex, same-sex marriage. Our nation will be going wrong on legalizing marijuana. We are very, very sad, extremely sad. May you forgive our nation. Number three, we're praying for our city. We're praying for Mississauga. We're praying for Toronto. We're praying for Brampton. We're praying for Pickering. We're praying for Vaughan. We're praying for Richmond Hill. We're praying for Markham. These areas, just within the last 4 weeks, where so many people get killed, there's a lot of crimes happening in our city. We pray, unfortunately, that you can give us this wisdom to glorify you in the city. Father, we also pray for our family. And if any member in our family have never believed in Christ Jesus, may you help us to preach the gospel to them. The last but not the least, we also pray for our church. Father, if we're not attending the prayer meeting, we're not having the church at all. Father, we pray that we participate in the prayer meeting while church so that we can see the revival of Mississauga Christ Life Community Church. And if we are just verbally saying, oh, I love my church, I love my family, I love my nation, I love my city, but not even with a word of prayer, this is hypocritical. This is just empty talk. So give us the energy, the power, and the desire to pray for you. Because prayer is to wish for God's desire. May your word stuck in your mind so that we can memorize. We're going to ask each one of you to say loud and clear with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Loud and clear. 1, 2, 3.